translation Prabhupada by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. O King, by this system of remembrance and by being fixed in the habit of seeing the all-good personal conception of the Lord, one can very soon attain devotional service of the Lord under His direct shelter. Srila Prabhupada's Prabhupada. Success of mystic performances is achieved only by the help of the devotional attitude. Pantheism, or the system of feeling the presence of the Almighty everywhere, is a sort of training of the mind to become accustomed to the devotional conception. And it is this devotional attitude of the mystic that makes possible the successful termination of such mystic attempts. One is not, however, elevated to such successful status without a tinge or mixture of devotional service. The devotional atmosphere created by pantheistic vision develops into devotional service in later days, and that is the only benefit of the impersonalists. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 12.5 that the impersonal way of self-realization is more troublesome because it reaches the goal in an indirect way. Although the impersonalist also becomes obsessed with the personal feature of the Lord after a long time. Just recite some prayers to glorify Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarva strapya puyu sarva bhiktya cha satphala sarva siddhanta ratnaya sarva lokete jepada sarva bhagavata prana simad bhagavata prabho kali dvantatya sri krishna pravatita Paramanda Pataya Prema Vasya Aksayate Sarva Sarvase Vaya Sri Krishna Namostute Mad Eko Bandhu Mad Sangha Mad Guru Mad Mahadana Mad Man Nastanaka Mad Bhagya Mad Ananda Namostute Asu Saduta Deya Achinta Chotaka He Nama Mucha Kadi Chin Mam Prema Kitaya Spura. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O nectar churned by the ocean of all Vedic scriptures, O most prominent transcendental fruit of all Vedas, O you who are enriched with the jewels of all spiritual philosophical conclusions, O you who grant spiritual vision to all people of the world, O life breath of the Vaishnava devotees, O Lord, you are the sun which has arisen and dispelled the darkness of Kali Yuga. You are actually Krishna who has returned amongst us. O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer my respectful obeisance unto you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss, for your symbols rain pure love of God upon the reader. You are always to be served by everyone, for you are an incarnation of Krishna. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my only friend, O my companion, O my teacher, O my great wealth, O my deliverer, O my good fortune, O my bliss, I offer my respectful obeisance unto you. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to unsaintly, O uplifter of the fallen, please do not ever leave me. Please become manifest upon my heart and my throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna, by praise by Sanatana Goswami. Okay, so let's see. So this is Srila Prabhupada's lecture. I'll comment something on the impersonal understanding. So Prabhupada speaking on Ishavar Samidam Saram Yatkinchan Jagat Jagam Ten Tagne Punjita Magri Sai Dhanam. Everything emanate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota, and one should not accept other things, knowing too well to whom they belong. Now here is a statement that everything emanate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. What are you inanimate or inanimate? Inanimate, the devotee says, inanimate. Do you think you are controlled or not controlled? Devotee, controlled. Is there any person here who is not controlled? No. Srila Prabhupada, or anywhere within this universe who is not controlled? Can anyone say, I am not controlled? Nobody can say so. If you are controlled, then why are you going to declare, I am uncontrolled, I am independent, I am God? Why is this nonsense? Is God controlled? People are claiming, I am God. Is there any meaning to such statement? If I am controlled, then how can I be God? This is a common sense affair. Everyone is God, I am God, you are God. This is my bad philosophy. God is never controlled. If somebody is controlled, we know immediately that he is not God. This is a simple definition of God. God is not controlled. If somebody claims that he is God, then our first question is, are you controlled or not controlled? Common sense, nobody can say that he is not controlled. I have seen a rascal who has got a society and he's preaching this. I am God. One day I saw him and he had a toothache and he was doing ow. So I questioned him. You are claiming you are God and now you are simply under the control of toothache. So what kind of God are you? You see, these societies, these preachers are claiming, I am God, you are God, everyone is God. God has become so cheap that everyone is God. You should immediately know that anyone who says these things is a rascal. Number one, immediately, as soon as he says, I am God, you must know he is a rascal, number one. Nobody is uncontrolled. Now we see so many huge planets floating. This earth planet is only a small planet. Still, you see on this planet, there are big oceans like the Atlantic and Pacific, and big mountains. What to speak of your skyscraper building? With all these loads, the earth is floating in the air just like a swab of cotton. Who is controlling this? Can you float even a small piece of grain in the sky? You can say law of gravity and so many things, but your machine, the aeroplane, is running in the sky only as long as the machine is working. As soon as your petrol is finished, the aeroplane will fall down immediately. The sun is 1,400,000 times bigger than this planet. We can see that the sun is floating in one corner of this big space. So how can you say that it is not controlled? It is floating by its own power. No, the answer is there in the Bhagavad Gita. Gita Shyam Astayam Aham Bi Ajasa. I enter these material planets and then I keep them floating. An aeroplane is floating in the sky because somebody has entered within it, the driver or pilot. So actually he and not the machine is keeping the aeroplane floating. This is the simple truth. If you take this analogy, then this planet is floating because somebody must have entered it. Krishna says, I have entered it. So what is the difference? What is the difficulty to understand that it is floating? The analogy is that everyone can understand that the big aeroplane is floating in the sky because of the pilot has entered within it. Similarly, if this planet is floating, then either you or somebody, God, has entered it. And that answer is there in the Bhagavad Gita. I enter into these planets and therefore I keep them floating. That is our answer. So that's one point of the fallacy of the Mayavad philosophy, how they can't prove that they're God, that they have difficulties in the philosophy. It's not very clear, and this quote by Srila Sivaram Swami on RV1, he gives an interesting vision on this point. It is all one, or so we often hear, but is it? If you practice yoga, read philosophy, or adhere to some faith, you have probably come across this concept of universal oneness. So where does it come from? It comes from a partial understanding of the truth, a partial knowledge of the way things are. Why do I say partial? Because everything is not just one, it is also many or different. Take the soil in your garden, for instance. The vegetables that grow in that garden come from the soil. They are, in a sense, one with the soil. But the vegetables and the soil are different. Try eating the soil and you will taste the difference. We also know the essential nature of all species to be the same. All living beings are empowered by some same spark of life. But there are also differences in the bodies those sparks of life inhabit. We therefore treat kitten differently from how we treat a tiger. Again, this is oneness and difference, the same as the soil and vegetables. Some yogis, teachers and philosophers would have us believe that at some stage of perfection all kinds of distinctions disappear and only unity remains. But why would perfection or liberation be devoid of differences? So Maharaj goes to further explain this. It would make perfection less than our current state. Therefore, we must admit a simultaneous oneness and difference. Now, for the thieves amongst you, consider this example. We are one with God in that we are of the same spiritual substance as God. But we are different from God in the sense that God is one and we are many. And God is unlimited. And you may have noticed we are very limited. So the next time someone tells you that's all one, invite them to eat their shoe. They will immediately tell you that a shoe is different from anything edible. And that's because the reality is that it is not all one, but one and different. So, we see Murari Gupta in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, he was preaching the Mayavad philosophy. And Lord Chaitanya, he was a little elder than Lord Chaitanya, I think. But Lord Chaitanya one time told him, I'm going to come and teach you a lesson. And when Murari Gupta was taking his prasad, Lord Chaitanya, he came with his name, I think he was young then, Nimai Pandit came. And as Murari Gupta was taking his prasad, eating his, Lord Chaitanya passed urine on his plate. So then he got the message, it's not all one. So that was one example. And like Sivaram Swami explained in his quotation, even Lord Chaitanya was preaching to Sachimata one time when he was, I think, Nimai Pandit. He was sitting in where dirty pots were, where the pots of Lord Vishnu were thrown or something. And he was telling Sachimata that was contaminated by these pots they offered to Lord Vishnu, and they considered not impure. And but Sachimata was telling Lord Chaitanya, this is an impure place. Look at your body, it's contaminated, it's gone black, and it's not a place to be. And so Sachimata, the other time, Lord Chaitanya ate some dirt and ate some mud, yeah. And Sachimata's, Lord Chaitanya says, it's all one, it's all like growing, the vegetables growing from the earth, so what's the difference? So Sachimata told Lord Chaitanya that if you eat this, the soil, the dirt, it won't help you to nourish you. It will not make your body healthy. Mm-hmm. But the vegetables which come out from it make your body healthy. So we can see in this way there's a lot of fallacy in this Mayavad philosophy. how they don't have any substance. Also in Bhagavad Gita, a few places Prabhupada explains how this Mayavad philosophy is I think 2:12 na tvaiva jato na sam na tvani mijanampi na cheva bhavashaps. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall anyone cease to be. In the Prabhupada explains how Krishna says, I was existing in the past, I am in the future, and I will continue to exist. I exist in the present, I will continue to exist in the future. So Krishna is making his statement very clear how he's a person different from all the living entities. The Mayavadis are trying to change that around, saying that they try and make it out that we merge with Krishna at some point. But in this Prabhupada clearly defines that actually Krishna is a person. He's speaking about it in the past, he's there in the present, he's going to be in the future as an individual. There was an interesting quote by Srila Prabhupada. Okay. The origin of the living entity, this is Prabhupada's quote on a letter, June 13, 1970. The next question is about the living entity falling down in this material world and not from the impersonal Brahman. Existence in the impersonal Brahman is also within the category of non-Krishna consciousness. Those who are in the Brahman effulgence are also in a fallen condition, so there is no question of falling down from fallen condition. When fall takes place, it means falling down from the non-fallen condition. The non-fallen condition is Krishna consciousness. As long as one maintains pure Krishna consciousness, he is not fallen. As soon as he is out of Krishna consciousness, he is fallen down. It does not matter where a living entity stays. In the material world, also there are different stages of living conditions. And to remain in the Brahman effulgence is also another phase of that fallen condition. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that conditioned souls by their pious activities are elevated to the higher planetary systems. As soon as their stock of pious activities are finished, they again come down on the earthly plane. Similarly, those who are elevated beyond the planetary systems to the Brahman effulgence, they are also prone to fall down as much as the living entity from the higher planetary system. So in Rupa Goswami's play Namastikam, he explains that even at entering the Brahman, your karma is not finished, it's continuous. Because being in that Brahman effulgence is just like being in bliss by yourself. There is no anand, there is no reciprocation. And Srila Prabhupada, he gives the example, you can be flying in the sky, but at some point you have to land. It's not like you can fly in the sky eternally. You have to land in some planet. Or one may be sitting in a chair by himself. He may get some peace. But how long one can sit in a chair by himself in the room? At some point, he has to come out. Because the living entity is pleasure-seeking. He has to have reciprocation with Krishna. So even there was Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. He was going to Jagannath Puri, and this one person came with him. He was chanting the name of Ram 24 hours. His name was Ram Das Vishwas. And when Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, well, he was serving Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, doing everything for him, carrying his baggage. And but when he got to Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya looked after Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. But his Ram Das Vishwas, he didn't even pay any attention to him. He just ignored him. And Raghunath Bhatta Goswami asked Lord Chaitanya, what's wrong with him? He's chanting the name of Ram 24 hours. So Lord Chaitanya told Raghunath Bhatta Goswami that he wants to merge with Ram. He doesn't want to sub Ram. So Lord Chaitanya just didn't pay attention to him. And Lord Chaitanya commented, it's better to be a servant than to merge with the Lord. Actually, it's better to be in a hellish planet than to merge with the Lord. Because at least in the hellish planet, you can preach Krishna consciousness. Merging with the Lord, there's no pleasure and there's no reciprocation. There's another quote here where Prabhupada goes further to explain these points. Teachings of Queen Kuti. There are Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual world, and there are devotees who are liberated, who are all liberated. These devotees are aksha, which means they do not fall down into the material world. They remain in the spiritual world of the Vaikunthas. They are also persons like us, but they are eternal persons, complete with full knowledge and bliss. That is the difference between them and us. That is tattva jnana. Unless we understand the variegatedness of the Absolute Truth, there's a chance that we will fall down. It is not sufficient simply to stick to the infinite, impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth. Aruna Krishna Padam Padam Tata Patanti Ada Yasmat Anungriya, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32. Because the impersonalists are not allowed to enter the Vaikuntha planets, they simply remain in the Brahman effulgence. Thus they fall down again into the material variety. We have seen many impersonalist sannyasis who first of all give up the world as false. Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. Shri Gaurana Ki Jai. Sitamakshmanman Gonditai Ki Jai. They consider themselves Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi. Consider the world false, jagat mithya, and have nothing more to do with the material world. Finally say, I have become Narayan. Then they come to the stage of Daridra Narayan. Poor Narayan. They become Narayan, but for want of anything better to do, for want of raggediness, they take up material humanitarian activities. Although they consider their wives mithya, false, they return. You have already left. Why do you come back again? The wives ask. This means that these so-called sannyasis have nothing to do. They undergo serious penances and austerities to reach that platform of impersonal Brahman. But because there is no pleasure there, they again descend to enjoy material variety. We may build a nice spaceship and send it off into space, and the astronauts may go up there and fly in the impersonal sky, but eventually they will have to come tired and pray to God, please let us return to land. We have read that the Russian astronaut was simply missing Moscow. while they were traveling in space. This impersonal traveling is actually a very agitating. Similarly, impersonal realization of the Absolute Truth cannot be permanent because one wants variety. A fall down is inevitable. When one gentleman read my book, Easy Journey to Other Planets, he became very enthusiastic about going to other planets. Oh yes, I said, we can go with this book. Yes, gentleman said, then I shall come back. Why return? You should remain there. No, no. He said, I don't want to remain. I just want to go back. I just want to go and come back. This is the enjoying mentality. Without variety, we cannot enjoy. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. Brahman realization or Paramatma realization does not give us steady ananda. Bliss. We want ananda. Ananda Maya Vyasa said, the living entity is a Brahman. Krishna is Parabrahman. Krishna is enjoying perpetual ananda, and being a part and parcel of Krishna, we also want ananda. Ananda cannot be impersonal or void. Ananda entails variety. No one is simply interested in drinking milk and eating sugar, but with milk and sugar we can make a variety of foods, pera, burfi, kheer, rabadi, dahi, and so on. There are hundreds of preparations. In any case, variety is required for enjoyment. The last word of Tattva Gyan is to understand Krishna, who is full of variety. Kapila Dev is Tattva Magya Darshanam. He is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he will explain to his mother what Tattva is, how one can approach Tattva Gyan, and how one can actually enjoy Tattva Gyan. This is not simply dry speculation. This Krishna conscious philosophy includes spiritual variety. People sometimes misunderstand this variety to be material, but they hanker for nirvishesha niraka, void. However, our philosophy is not void. It is full of variety and transcendental bliss. This will later be specifically enunciated by Lord Kapila. So there was one pastime of one brahmana in Mithila. He made an investigation about Lord Jagannath's pastimes in Jagannath Puri. And Lord Jagannath has his own scriptures. Different scriptures are there for glorifying Lord Jagannath. So he was trying to find out one verse, trying to figure out one verse in what he read in one of their scriptures. So he went to Jagannath Puri, and that next morning Lord Jagannath's temple didn't open for anyone. So the pujaris couldn't open it. Report went to the king. The king couldn't open it. And then the public couldn't come in. So they concluded something must be wrong here. And at night time, the pujari was dressing Jagannath. Lord Jagannath told him, there's this brahmana from Mithila here. As long as he remains in Jagannath Puri, I will not give my darshan to anyone. So then they found out who that brahmana was, and they asked him, his name was Udara Datta or something, Udara Thakur. They asked him, are you this brahmana? He said, yes. So he said, because of your presence, Lord Jagannath hasn't given darshan to any of us. So you have to leave now. So then he was humble about it. He said, okay, let me go and pray to Lord Jagannath. Let's see what happens. Then he started reciting prayer to Lord Jagannath. And the doors opened. So that shows that Krishna is into personal relationships. It's also explained in Dwarka, in the Nectar Devotion, he explained how there was one brahmana, he was an impersonalist, but then he was seeing Krishna coming in Dwarka every day, you know. When he was present on the earth, he was walking in Dwarka with his associates. So when he saw Krishna walking, he saw, what is this Brahman realization? It has no value. Vegetal meditated on Krishna's form. He came to the understanding himself like that. It also says that when Krishna blew his conch, people who were doing meditation, their meditation broke. So that shows how having a personal relationship with Krishna is higher than meditating on the Brahman. Jayadev was saying one time how, because he used to do regressions and other things before, he had a friend at some point where this friend, he told his followers that he went to the Brahman, but then he came back. He wasn't happy there. So it just shows how and also in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 12.5.12, it's mentioned in the Pauva, Prabhupada says, this Brahman realization is troublesome in the material world and the spiritual world. So it's better to have more of a personal relationship with Krishna as a person. We can see how Krishna in his pastimes, he's got variety. He comes here to show his pastimes to attract the fallen souls back to Godhead. But like in yesterday's lecture, Prabhupada explained how the problem with the Mayavadis is like this. They have the understanding, they think that when Krishna comes to the material world, he takes a material form like us. They don't understand that his form is fully spiritual. So that's the actually Sankaracharya's purpose of coming was two. He had two purposes, because within that time there were people who were disguising as Vaishnavas and causing disturbance to devotees. So Sankaracharya preached his philosophy to bewilder the demons and protect the devotees, because even in his pastimes he gave many references how Krishna is beyond this material world. Nayana Paravyaktat Bhajagovindam Bhajagovindam Mudate. So he gave these references that he told his followers, whatever you're trying to do with Vrajava, it's not going to help you. Better you surrender to Krishna and this will give you eternal happiness. Any comments or questions?
Mentioning in other classes, we learn that we have a little Mayavadi in ourselves, even the practice of devotional service. And so I can see that we have to constantly hear the same thing again and again, that Krishna's a person, Krishna's a person. And soon that kind of tendency of impersonalism within our heart will be destroyed. Is there, apart from hearing it again and again and again and inducing a realization, is there any practical steps other than that we can actually perceive Krishna as actually a person in our life and actually have a interaction?
Well, in the beginning stages you have to take guidance from advanced devotees to help you become strong in your Krishna consciousness, because they know your nature, how to engage you in Krishna service. And then, under their guidance, all the doubts will become cleared. Because spiritual life is like a razor's edge. You have to be very careful how you tread the path. And we have to let go of this emotional platform. Then we can, according to Jeva Dharma, then we can taste higher rasas in Krishna consciousness. So the Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that if you respect everyone according to their level in spiritual life, then you get Krishna's mercy. So we have to acknowledge every devotee according to the level of advancement. The Kanishtadikari, Madhyamadikari, Uttamadikari. We have to respect everyone according to their level. And then the mercy will be there. And hearing is important. By hearing, then, like Prabhupada said, we should make the scriptures our eyes. Don't depend on the mundane eyes. Then all our misconceptions will be cleared.
What do you mean by the emotional stage? We have to give up some emotional stage. Because I thought Krishna consciousness was about also emotions.
No, you see, you have to spiritualize your emotions by understanding Krishna's pastimes. You shouldn't read the books like a storybook. You have to enter the pastimes by meditating on them, be thinking deeply about it. And then this will spiritualize your emotions. And concerning the material world, you should not hold on to false emotions, which are part of someone who's not advancing in spiritual life, or someone who's part. You have to distinguish in terms of helping someone who's ready to be helped and someone who's not. You have to have distinction. Because life is short. Kali Yuga life is short. So you have to make that distinction. So you have to help those who are willing to be helped in spiritual life, and those who are not, you respect from a distance. In this way, this will help you to help you to become spiritualized in your emotions and see through the eyes of scriptures and think about what Prabhupada is saying in his books, how to apply it in your practice of Krishna consciousness.
Thank you. So earlier on you mentioned how like being fallen is actually being fallen from Krishna consciousness. Could you elaborate on that in terms of what that actually means? Because like if I think about my Krishna consciousness, it's okay, Srila Prabhupada had a standard for, you know, 16 rounds, 4 regulated princes, etc. But then for somebody else, their Krishna consciousness might be different. Like, is it the whole aspect of the consciousness or like the activities or like a mixture?
Well, the thing is, as far as we are going, what Prabhupada is teaching us, we are practicing the line of pure devotional service. So Prabhupada gave the basic to us, which we could practice on our level. So Prabhupada didn't compromise any lower. Like initially Prabhupada wanted devotees to do 64 rounds, they couldn't do it. Then 32, they couldn't do that. Then 16. So we have to build people up to temple standard. Gradually we have to make people coming to temple standard. Because this is a way which will help you to go back to Godhead.
So if we take like some situation has come up and we like grudgingly perform those 16 rounds or, you know, following the corporate regular principles, does that still count as us being in Krishna consciousness, even though our consciousness is actually not in following it, but we're just practicing it externally?
Well, because Prabhupada has said it, we practice it, we pray for his mercy, then the mercy will come. You're not depending on your way of doing it, you're depending on what Prabhupada has said it. So the mercy will come. In spiritual life, it's like he says in the gyanis and karmis, they do their austerities. But the end of the end of the austerities, if they don't acknowledge who Krishna is, then all the austerities go to waste. They have no substance. So for a devotee, because he accepts who Krishna is, then Krishna will reciprocate. From our side, we just have to have faith in what Prabhupada is saying, to follow the examples. What he has given is his writings. And reciprocation will come. Like one time, Prabhupada asked a question to devotees, why have you surrendered to Krishna? And one devotee gave the quote, Sarva Dharma Praikya Jama Mekam Vaja, he quoted that verse. Give overrides willing to surrender to me. I'll protect you more simple reactions. Prabhupada didn't accept that. Another devotee said, because you say Prabhupada. And Prabhupada didn't accept that. And third devotee said, because we feel that we're getting Krishna's reciprocation. That's why we're surrendering. And Prabhupada accepted that. Because Prabhupada said, if you're not getting reciprocation, how can you give up all your bad habits? So that shows that reciprocation is there, you just have to follow the process.
Yeah. Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for your class. I was just wondering, why is the impersonalism so deeply rooted within us? If our constitutional position is to be personal, we should be probably much closer to personalism than impersonalism. But impersonalism is so deeply rooted in us that even in times of devotional service, it's difficult to get that personal aspect. So how comes it's so deeply rooted if our...
I know, it's a material world, you know. Once you turn your back on Krishna, you get covered by the modes of nature. Modes of nature affect us. And then the association we take, it affects us also. So we have to be careful in our association. Like Srila Prabhupada, you can see how strict he was when he started the Krishna Conscious Movement in New York, right? With this Jagannath Mishra, was it? The person who owned the center, right? Dr. Mishra, right? And he was a Mayavadi. But Prabhupada didn't compromise his standards for him. He kept to his standards. And Prabhupada benefited him by cooking prasad for him. And Prabhupada was preaching to his followers and he didn't like it. Eventually Prabhupada left and started his own preaching. So that shows from that example how we have to be strict in our following of the teachings of what Prabhupada is giving. We shouldn't mix with those who are mixed up in their views, you know. Then that will bewilder us. Because we're living in Maya's kingdom, you know, it's full of ignorance. And if we are not alert of Krishna, then Maya will affect us.
Yeah, the reason I'm asking is because we see even with like those who are not spiritual, who are not thinking about spiritual life, they meditate on trying to have, you know, personal relationships with people. You know, they're meditating on getting deep connections and feeling loved. So, you know, if that's something that's prominent to them, why is it, you know, it's interesting.
But the thing is, either Krishna or Maya. This is the way Prabhupada gave it. So, if someone's not helping you in going deep into your Krishna consciousness, and they're just helping you to build relationships with other people who are not helping in your spiritual life, what's the benefit? That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he says in his court, he says, the spiritual master is your best friend, he's your best relative, and he's your best well-wisher. Because it's only by his mercy that you're getting connection with Krishna. He's praying to Krishna on your behalf. And he's training you up how to become strong in Krishna consciousness. So, if you follow his instruction, then you're safe. As soon as you disobey, then you're making your own destiny. I think Prayojan's got something.
Is somebody who doesn't even believe in God at first. So the gradual process of trying to see something, you know, as Prabhupada says, you know, like seeing the greatness of nature, is a step, you know, in that direction. That there's some sort of worship there, the awesome nature of the material world and the thing. So. These verses here, they're talking about, it seems, it says here, by a system of remembrance being fixed in the habit of seeing the all, the good personal conception of the Lord, can be very soon attained, can very soon attain devotional service to the Lord. See, so it says, success of mystic performances is only by the help of a devotional attitude. In other words, somebody starts to feel a devotional attitude of the things that are greater than him. You know, like seeing and worshipping nature, but also it's coming away from you know, don't know anything. But it's a feeling of devotion that starts to develop when he sees something beyond his own control, his own power, or greater than our power. So it's starting from scratch, coming from somebody who doesn't believe in God. But then they start to see that there's something, you know, greater than us. And so he says, developing it says here, success of mystic performances is achieved by the help of a devotional attitude.
Mm.
And so even if he's devoted to nature, or the power of nature, it's a sentiment that's cultivating a devotional attitude of worship of something greater than us. So it's you know, coming from nowhere, if you get what I mean. Because a lot of people, they don't know anything about God, you know, they just ignore it, you know. So a devotional attitude, if it's there, even just by the worship of nature at first, it's a progress, you know, for a lot of people.
But just one comment.
Yes.
In order to get that mercy, sometimes you have the mercy of a devotee also has to be there.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is they're talking about, there's not any association, you know, of this person that is denoted in here. There's no association.
It's like one example, Prabhupada, someone gave me some leaflets from Mayavadi. Mayavadi gave Prabhupada leaflets. Prabhupada gave his leaflets to his devotees and he saw prasadam. The devotee said, what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
So Prabhupada gave benefit to the Mayavadi by giving him Agata Sukriti, by giving prasadam on the place of those leaflets.
Yeah.
So it's by the mercy of an advanced devotee that these people can also come into devotional service. It's not by their own way.
Yeah, but what we're talking about here is that somebody who hasn't got any association, but sees it by some other thing that is an impression, has a lasting impression on him. You know, like the worship of nature, like the Aborigines do, and that sort of thing. It's the start of a devotional sentiment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's really what us.
That's good.
Yeah, that's all I can see.
Yeah.
But what we're talking about is devotional life, you know, here, isn't it?
You have any questions?
Our devotional life.
Any questions on this? Anything else? Antaram Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai.